And we're down in verse 21 of chapter 2, and we're talking about a specific situation, one of apostasy, which is a very terrible word when you understand what it means and what it entails. But we don't want to forget the context. We're talking about false teachers, specifically as apostates. And really, when you look on our nation, we talk a lot about America and its condition, what it needs. You see all the liberalism and the allowance for sin and carnality. It started in the church. You get liberal preachers and teachers, and they open the floodgates for sin, and then it gets out into society, and it becomes commonplace. And I think that's what we've been seeing. So these are very pertinent points. 21 says that it was better they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. We were saying, here Peter's talking about better to be ignorant than to be apostate. And we explained in what sense he meant that, because ordinarily ignorance is a very terrible thing too. As long as someone is ignorant of the gospel, he can't be saved. The knowledge of the gospel is the only hope for someone being brought to God and made right with Him. And that's where we left off last time. If we're ignorant of the gospel, that means we will certainly perish in our sins. And the only hope of eternal salvation for sinners is to hear and to believe the gospel of Christ. You know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And the gospel, of course, presents Jesus Christ to us and His person and work of salvation. And He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But how can they believe on Him of whom they have never heard? So ignorance automatically keeps someone from salvation. They have to hear the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believes. But what if someone hears the gospel, believes professedly, and then turns away? That's what Peter's dealing with here. But what I want to bring out, maybe it'll be our main point and only point today, it's far easier. In other words, why is it better never to have heard than to hear and to fall away? Because it's far easier for someone who has never heard the gospel to come to Christ than for one who has heard the gospel, professed faith in Christ, and then fallen away, to come to repentance and return to that faith that he once professed to know. I explain sometimes, you hear about God working mightily in foreign nations. You hear about people coming to the Lord in great numbers. In America, a conversion is a very rare and unusual thing. Why is that? Well, in America, they've heard it over and over again. And they've pretty much made their decisions and hardened their hearts and decided that's not something they want. Where in other nations, they're hearing it for the first time and they're just eating it right up and coming to the Lord. Let's look at a place, Matthew 21. Now, I don't say that as if never having heard automatically makes you more receptive to the gospel. God still has to open the heart to receive Christ. But those who have heard and hardened, or even professed and then turned away, are much more difficult to bring to faith. Matthew 21 and verse 28, Jesus talks about a man with two sons. What think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Publicans and harlots, the worst of sinners, go into the kingdom before you religious, law-keeping Pharisees. Now, how is this? It says, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. And here were people living in open, gross sin, making no claims to knowing God or being his followers. And their need was very apparent. And they were more readily receptive to the gospel than those who claimed to be religious and to be believers in God and following God and doing his will, when it was far otherwise, when their hearts were not right with him. And so the lost sinners came to the Lord quicker than the false-hearted religionists. And that's always the case. Another reason why it's better to be ignorant than to apostatize is there is a greater guilt and judgment for knowing apostates than for ignorant unbelievers. If someone dies never heard, having heard the gospel, his judgment will be far less than someone who dies having made a false profession and fallen away. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knows to do good, who knows the truth and what God requires, and does it not, to him it is sin. In other words, it's more a sin in his case than someone who doesn't know. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 27, it talks about two kinds of sin. One was provided sacrifice for, and the other wasn't. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. In other words, there was forgiveness provided for sins of ignorance. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, knowingly and willingly, willfully, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. He will be taken away by death, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Or that man knew what he was doing, and did it in full knowledge of what he did was wrong, and God says, No forgiveness. Let's look at John chapter 19. Here you have Jesus appearing before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, on trial. And Pilate's questioning him. And he says in verse 10, then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? I'm the Roman governor. I have the power to either let you go or put you to death. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. For God put you in that place and gave you that power. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Here's a man that probably met Jesus for the first time, maybe never heard of him, is questioning him, trying to find out why the Jews had turned him over to Pilate for trial and cried out for his death. And of course, Judas was the one who had betrayed him and had him arrested. And Jesus says, Judas was with me these 3.5 years. He knew what I was. He saw my miracles. He heard my teachings. And he turned his back on all that and went against what he knew. His sin is far greater. His guilt is much worse. His punishment will be much more than Pilate, even though Pilate was the one who finally turned him over to die. One more, Matthew 23. I want to look at verse 13 to 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Remember, James had said, ye not many teachers will receive the greater damnation. And here are those who set themselves up as religious leaders, teachers of others, and claiming to be God's special people, and were claiming to know God better than others so they could be leaders. And what's he saying? You're doing it all as a farce. It's all a big show. You're putting on an act. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So you keep people from the true knowledge of entering into heaven. You use religion as a cover for your vain, glorious activities and self-increasing activities, trying to enrich yourselves. And when you do bring someone to your own beliefs, rather than bringing them to the true knowledge of God and salvation, you leave them far worse off, more as zealous new converts, more children of hell, twofold more than yourselves. So you're not doing them any good. And so here were the people that claimed to be knowing, yet they were in ignorance. They claimed to be religious, yet they were unregenerate. And they claimed to be doing God's service when they were working right against him. Far worse for them. And one more point. God often shows greater mercy to those who are in ignorance. And that's one factor that he takes into account when he brings people to himself. Luke 23. Now, I hope you know I'm not pleading for ignorance. God puts no premium on ignorance. He wants us to know what's right and to live up to the light we have. But yet, oftentimes when God looks at someone, he sees their condition, and one factor he takes into account is they don't know. And that's sometimes something that draws out his mercy to them. In verse 32, talks about Jesus on the cross. Two malefactors crucified with him. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now here were soldiers just doing their job, in a sense. The Jews had seen Jesus' miracles, heard his teachings. He fit everything that was required of the Messiah, and yet they rejected him. Judas, of course, as we already said, rejected him. But when it came to the pagans, It says, none of the princes of the world knew the gospel, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They did it in ignorance. What they did was wrong, but that ignorance kind of left a little leeway for them with God. Acts chapter 3. Now here Peter's preaching to the general multitude of the Jews. And he says in verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up. Or he charges them with the sin of calling for his crucifixion. You delivered him up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So he's charging them with this sin, but look what he says in verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. So there was some ignorance. Evidently, they were not fully convinced, all of them, that Christ, who was he claimed to be, they really saw him as an imposter and rejected him. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore. Right? You're not off the hook because you're ignorant. You need to repent of what you did. It was a sin. The greatest sin that mankind ever committed. So Peter allows for them. He doesn't say you knew just what you're doing entirely. He allowed somewhat of ignorance to be involved. And as a result, he says, now God's offering you forgiveness. Paul did this in Acts chapter 13. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now here Paul is talking to Jews. Calls them stock of Abraham. To you is the word of this salvation sent, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets. Right, they read the scriptures every day and didn't understand what they were saying, which are read every day, every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be shamed, slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. Because they knew him not, or the prophets, they fulfilled them in their very act of condemning him. So they accomplished God's will in their ignorance. And God fulfilled his salvation plan and in sending his son to die and rise again. And now Paul is calling them to repentance. Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So he appeals to them to come to Christ and trust in him for salvation, and he gives them that little leeway or allowance. You didn't know what you're doing, now that you realize it, now that I've declared to you what you have done, you need to come to Christ. As a matter of fact, this was even an element of Paul's conversion. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I mean, Paul was vehemently opposed to the gospel, violently opposed. And yet, what's he say? I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Notice he doesn't say I was ignorant, so I'm not really that bad a sinner. I didn't really know what I was doing. No, I'm the very chief of sinners. My ignorance is no excuse, and as a matter of fact, that even compounds my sin, because ignorance in itself is sinful. And he says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the life everlasting. God made me an example for everyone who follows, that they too can come to Christ and find mercy and salvation, that they would confess their sin and ignorance and unbelief and receive the Lord Jesus. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's close. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Lord, certainly we were all in ignorance and our unbelief. And we did many things contrary to the name of Jesus, just like Paul and the others. Father, thank you that you, instead of dealing with us in severity, you looked on us, Lord, and saw us in our ignorance, and Lord, you were pleased to show mercy upon us. How we thank you for it. Please show that mercy to others, especially our own family and loved ones. And Lord, pray you'd be with us as we part. Grant us safe return home. Help Liz to recover fully. And Lord, I pray you will bless our week and help us to walk with you this week, and that you might bring us together again next Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your extra patience.